On the 22nd of May, we celebrated the second anniversary of the marriage equality referendum. And last week, we celebrated Pride 2017. We know that Ireland has one of the most progressive legislative frameworks for affirming the rights of people in terms of gender recognition. However, one area that needs some serious attention is parental rights for same-sex married couples. Well, joining me to discuss this issue is Dr. Brian Tobin, lecturer at the School of Law in NUI Galway. Brian, you're very welcome to Global Village.
Thank you, Dale. It's nice to speak to you.
So, Brian, just explain, first of all, where we stand in relation to the parental rights for same-sex couples. Is it the same for married and unmarried couples as well?
Dale, it differs between married couples and unmarried couples, whether same-sex or opposite-sex, and I'll explain why. So the marriage equality referendum brought about marriage equality in 2015, meaning that opposite-sex and now same-sex couples can marry in Ireland. This has allowed same-sex couples to also fall under existing adoption legislation, meaning that same-sex married couples can adopt children. However, same-sex civil partners or opposite-sex or same-sex cohabiting couples cannot yet jointly adopt a child, and people may be unaware of that. That is because it is provided for in the Children and Family Relationships Act 2015, but the adoption provisions of that legislation have not yet been commenced.
Okay, and what's stopping, because it's 2015 that that legislation came into play, so why hasn't it fully been implemented yet?
Dil, your guess is as good as mine. I should point out that I wrote about this in the journal.ie a few weeks ago, and the very next day my piece was discussed in Shannon Éireann by Senator Fintan Warfield and Senator Jerry Buttimer.
Both great friends of the show, can I say?
Oh, that's nice to hear. I think they were planning on requesting a meeting with the minister concerned to discover what's going on here.
Because just to, I suppose, bring it to down to brass tacks for listeners. Now, listeners know I'm married to Amory. We have a 2-year-old son. He was born on the week of the marriage referendum. He was born on the Sunday, and Friday was the day of the voting, and that was our official outing as a family, was to the polling station. And my son's birth cert, Phoenix's birth cert, does not have Anne-Marie's name. I mean, it has my name and the mother. And then, of course, there's a box that says father, and that's blank. And so Anne-Marie's name is nowhere there. Now, she does have guardianship. We went through the courts and got that. And it's really upsetting that now we're expecting a second child that Anne-Marie is carrying at the moment. And I have to say, I'm very upset at the thought that the birth cert for our second child is not going to carry my name in it. And that's 2 years after the referendum. Why is this still not the case?
I find that unfortunate. What it is that the donor-assisted human reproduction provisions of the 2015 legislation, they have not yet been commenced either. So I was speaking about adoption a moment ago, but it's exactly the same for donor-assisted human reproduction. And the general public is unaware of this because that legislation was signed into law on the 6th of April 2015, 6 weeks before the referendum. So the public may believe that actually parental rights for same-sex married couples and same-sex civil partners, etc., that was all sorted prior to the referendum, but not so because these provisions have not yet been commenced. So even though the legislation is on the statute book, because the provisions have not yet been commenced, that is why you cannot be recognised as the second mother or second parent of your forthcoming child, or your partner cannot be recognised as the second parent of the child that you have already. And it's very, very unfortunate. All it would really involve is commencing sections 20 to 23 of the 2015 legislation. This would enable a donor-conceived child's mother to have her same-sex spouse recognised as a legal parent of the child.
It sounds very, very simple. So what are the ramifications of this? I said, like, couples like ourselves, we went down to the courts and we got guardianship for a son, and we'll do the same for a second child. But the fact that the non-biological parent's name is not on the birth cert, what would happen if, say, something happened to the biological parent? If, say, for example, I was not here anymore tomorrow, what would be the fate of our child?
Sure. If you were the non-biological parent of the child, or if you were, I suppose the situation you're outlining there is you're the biological parent of the child, and if something was to happen to you tomorrow, what would happen to the child? Well, because that child would have been living with its non-biological, albeit in a sense second parent, for some time, it is most likely that the child would be allowed to remain with that parent despite the absence of that person's name on the birth certificate.
And what if, because I always use this situation, because my family would not be accepting of our family, and because they're very religious. So my worry is, would my sister or my Jehovah's Witness parents feel, if something happened to me, realize, oh my God, our grandchild is in Ireland, should we come down and try to take the child away from, you know, this house of sin? Would they be viewed, would their link to my child be viewed stronger than, say, the link with the non-biological parent?
It's unlikely that it would be, and that is because of, believe it or not, ironically, the provisions of the 2015 Act that have in fact been commenced, because the guardianship provisions of that legislation have been commenced, as have the custody and access provisions. So, in fact, your partner's claim to custody of that child, or any non-biological parent's claim to custody, would most likely be stronger than the claim of grandparents or siblings.
Well, that's a weight of my mind, right? Thanks very much for clearing that up. But it is still, you know, it's housekeeping. We just need to get this over the line, because it's just leaving. Just, you know, being a parent is challenging enough. You know, you have lots of worries and stress, and, you know, who's going to look after my child when I'm at work and all that. And on top of all of that, you don't need to be worrying about this stuff, because, you know, as heterosexual married couples don't have to worry about it. So why should we?
I agree with you. I should point out that one of the reasons why there was going to be a delay in commencing the donor-assisted human reproduction provisions was to give the fertility clinics time to adapt their practice. And what I mean by that is, the fertility clinics, as you may know, they tend to use sperm from anonymous donors, which means that once a donor-conceived child reaches the age of 18, that child cannot obtain information about their donor. Now, the 2015 legislation changes all of that, such that from the time the provisions are commenced, at least, the clinics will have to use sperm from what we call non-anonymous donors. That is, a donor who is not necessarily known to the intended parents, but someone whose details will be recorded and whose details the child can acquire upon reaching the age of majority.
Mm. Yeah, no, we went down the route of using a known donor to the clinic. So when our son is 18, they can get on a plane and go to Denmark, and if they choose, get to know their biological father. Of course, Amri and I will be following very closely behind with binoculars and French Macs to make sure that this is a decent human being. But I understand that. What about for gay men? Because let's face it, surrogacy is a much more complicated area than when you're talking about two lesbians, because after all, you know, as the joke goes, you know, we have the ovens, you know, so all we need is the sperm.
Yes, it is easier for female same-sex married couples than male same-sex married couples. With surrogacy, my knowledge to date, Dil, is that there is a bill on the way. It was due to be introduced in the first quarter of this year, that didn't happen, clearly. I am concerned about it, because I have been keeping in contact with the Department of Health. And to my knowledge, the proposed bill that is on the way is going to incorporate some of the worst aspects of surrogacy law in the UK and elsewhere. So I'm hoping that that will change on its passage through Parliament, with perhaps some expert input, and that we will eventually have surrogacy regulated here in Ireland.
So, as you said, your article sparked a conversation in the Shannon because Fintan Warfield and Jerry Buttimer brought it to the attention of the Shannon. So what can we do to I suppose, put pressure on the government to get this over the line, so we can just get on with our lives and not have to worry about this anymore?
I entirely agree. I suppose, from my perspective, what I do as an academic lawyer is try to get opinion out there and provoke debate. And I think this piece has been successful in doing that, or I wouldn't be speaking with yourself tonight. What the rest of us can do, what general society can do, is I think contact your local TD, because I get contacted all the time, actually, by more and more lesbian couples who are very, very dismayed to find that they have a child on the way and that the non-biological parent cannot be legally recognized as a parent. So this is an increasing problem in this jurisdiction, and I think our policymakers simply need to commence these provisions at long last, over 2 years after the legislation was placed on the statute book.
Well, Dr. Brian Tobin, lecturer at School of Law in UI Galway, thank you very much for shining a light on this very urgent issue and for coming on Global Village to talk to us about it. Here's hoping that this conversation will roll on and gather momentum, and then it will, they won't be able to ignore us anymore. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.